Hey, Faith Church, this is Pastor Godwin, and I'm really excited to introduce you to something that we're going to be doing for a few weeks. We're going to be doing these pastoral panels with our pastors, and one of our elders here is with us too this evening. And what we're going to do is for 3 weeks, we're going to look at the three different church values that we have. And you've hopefully heard of these values: living in communion with the Lord, living in community with each other, and then finally being on mission together. And so we're going to dedicate a panel discussion with a few of our pastors and elders on those particular values. So I've got with me Ryan Dennis, who is not only a pastoral assistant, but one of our church elders. And then I've got Ryan Broadhurst. Many of you have seen him up front, discipleship and worship ministries pastor. I'm Godwin, Sathya Nathan. I'm the lead pastor at Faith. And just really excited to be able to dive in on these topics. So tonight we're going to talk about living in communion with the Lord. And so I'm excited to dig in with you guys. So I got some questions. And here's the first question I'm going to throw out to my brothers. What's your earliest memory of reading the Bible? What was that like for you?
I'll go first. So I think my first memory of reading the Bible was just as a teenager. I was probably 15, 16 years old. It was after some friends invited me to their youth group. And then after a while, I started reading the scriptures on my own. And at first, I started out reading the shortest books I could find, like Philippians, Colossians, 1 John, things like that. And the thing that really, why it seems so significant, is that I hated reading with a passion. So I don't think I read an actual entire book until after high school. I hated reading that much, and somehow I still graduated. But you know, there was something as I read the scriptures, first heard them preached, and then as I read them myself, that just drew me in. There was something that I could tell even then was unique. You might say it was just kind of the glory of God shining through the scriptures, and just the recognition of the truth. So it was just a really unique experience. The fact that I wanted to read it all to begin with, and then just as I read the scriptures, what I was encountering and kind of experiencing even then.
Yeah, for me, I think earliest memory of reading the Bible, I don't really remember reading the Bible before I was about in junior high age. And I had started reading the Left Behind books before I ever read the Bible. And it was all these end times. So I just had a lot of questions, so many questions that my parents ended up getting me an Extreme Teen Study Bible, which is about the most 90s sounding Bible ever. But it was helpful. It put tabs on the ends of it. I had lots of references and notes just as I was beginning to learn the Bible. I remember that was the first Bible I would really actually crack open by myself and start to read a little bit.
Interesting.
Good. Yeah.
How would you guys differentiate between communing with the Lord and just Bible reading?
That's a good question. So I would say communing with God, it certainly includes Bible reading. It's not less than having the scriptures. But I think the big difference there is that when we are talking about communion with God, we're really talking about interacting with a person. So God is a person. We're not just interacting with a book, but we're interacting with God himself. And I think it's that relational aspect that really differentiates it between the two. You can actually enjoy and experience fellowship with God himself. And of course, you know, that means there's two-way communication. You know, he speaks with us through the scriptures. We hear him. You know, we respond back with prayer. So there's that two-way communication. And, you know, I think as we think about the difference, you know, it's one thing to read about, you know, the Bible talking about how we're children of God or we've been adopted as sons. It's one thing to study that doctrine. It's another thing to really know that and to really have an experiential knowledge of that truth, to truly know God as our Father. So I think that's the difference there. I think it's really just that actually interacting and knowing and fellowshipping with God himself as we would another person.
Yeah, that's great. It's great, brother.
Yeah, really good. I think one of the questions that comes to mind when I think of this is, what is my end goal? All right. So am I just trying to do something for the sake of doing it, to check mark a box? Am I even going to scripture just for a factual kind of mindset, which isn't all wrong, but if that's my sole goal, Or is it, as Ryan Dennis was saying, there's a level of seeking to cultivate my love for and my relationship with Christ as I'm doing those other things. I think it's meant to lead us to worship and to commune with God through the scriptures means prayer is an essential element to that. Asking the Spirit to help us understand as we're going through it. In many ways, maybe the difference between coming hungry and coming full, a lot of time I can see it, my schedule is full and I'm trying to squeeze a Bible reading in versus coming hungry or asking the Spirit to give me a desire to pursue him in the means of grace he's given us there.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that idea of pursuing the Lord, coming hungry. It makes me think, just to kind of piggyback off what you guys are saying, I think our approach to the Lord is very different. If you're just reading the Bible versus fellowshipping with God, you know, one is kind of engaging with a book like you guys were talking about. And so there's study, maybe there's analysis, maybe there's, you know, reading it like a story or reading the Bible for some good life tips. And there's kind of an element of truth in each of those. Like we want to study, we want to read it like it's a story because it is a story. But there's another way to approach the Bible, of course, you know, approaching the Bible, like Ryan, you were just talking about, both of you. I can just say Ryan and it means both of you. But there's another way to approach the Bible as if the Almighty God of the universe wants to speak to you, right? Mm-hmm. In the moment, in real time. And he's got a word for you through whatever you're opening up. And, you know, if we approach God in this manner, I mean, that takes our Bible reading to the next level, right? And so kind of that sense of personal engagement, it can be very inspiring and attractive. You know, as you wake up in the morning and you've got a long list of things to do, just really recognizing that, man, as I sit in my blue chair here, got my cup of coffee in my hand, I can open up a book and engage with a living God. That's powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't.
So let me ask you guys this, speaking of sitting in a chair and engaging with God, what does communing with the Lord look like for each of you guys?
Yeah, for me in this season, one of the disciplines I have in place is I get up in the morning and I'm working through a particular reading plan. It helps me to have a reading plan to kind of keep me focused. I am a big fan of the reading plan that actually it's called the ESV Study Bible Plan. I don't read through my ESV Study Bible every year, but the plan breaks it up into four chunks every day. And so it's usually a psalm, usually a two Old Testament passages, and then one New Testament passage. And so I really enjoy doing that. I'm doing that this year and reading through a different study Bible, kind of the notes that accompany it. Sometimes I'll use a particular devotional to go along with it to kind of help me stir my affections in the midst of that. New Morning Mercies by Paul Tripp has been one I've used a couple times. It's really good for that. And along with that, you know, I'll listen to podcasts. So sometimes communing with the Lord, some of that for me happens outside of that specific time as well. You know, looking to intentionally sing songs and reflect on worship songs or listen to good sermons or podcasts about the gospel. And then another thing I do is from time to time, not every day, I try to keep a prayer journal. And I actually do that digitally on my computer. And so I found that really helpful because I'm so distracted a lot of the times, it's hard for me to focus in prayer. And so if I do that, it actually makes me meditate, not only in my scripture reading when I'm opening up the word, but also sitting down to put things in front of my eyes.
Awesome.
That's great. I like that. For me, somewhat similar in a lot of those things. It's definitely, I found for me, it's best in the early morning. Try to do it before the kids wake up, which that's kind of a ever-changing time when that is. But so I usually wake up, make some tea. I'll usually pray for a minute at the outset, just asking God to open my eyes, incline my heart, for the Spirit to just show me what I need to see in the scriptures today as I read them. I also use a Bible reading plan. This year, at least, I'm using the Discipleship Journal Bible Reading Plan, which also has four readings, really similar. I will say I'm at least a month behind in my Old Testament reading. So Ryan, you're much more holier than I am if you're on track.
I didn't say I was on track. I just said I did it.
Yeah. But anyway, so reading through those, I usually do three places and then Old Testament another time. But so this morning, for example, I read through Mark, a section of Galatians and then the Psalms as well. And as I go through that, I'm really reading slowly. I'm not rushing through it. And really it's on the lookout for any ways that the Lord is speaking to me through this text as I read. So as I go through, usually at least one or two verses, sometimes more, will stand out as I'm going through the scriptures. So I'll either underline them or make a note, and I'm going to come back to those. So that once I finish my reading, lately what I've been doing is one of two things. If the weather's nice, I might then go for a walk. I have some woods and trails by my house, or I might just sit in the chair and close my eyes. But what I do for those first few minutes before I start praying is I'll try to meditate and focus on those scriptures that hit me and impacted me, stood out to me as I was going through my reading. So for example, this morning, one of those verses was Psalm 115, verse 1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, give the glory. And just as I, repeated that verse to myself, emphasizing different words, thinking about it, it just kind of, the Spirit just uses that to naturally bring about thoughts that then lead to prayer. So I was quickly convicted that, man, I don't desire this a lot of the time. You know, that's my impulse is not to your name only, God, give glory. You know, how often am I seeking my glory? So it leads to confession. And then other times, and then as I continue to think, start to ponder all the reasons why the glory belongs to God alone, and then begin to praise him for those things. And then maybe I'll think about my kids and pray that this will be their desire, Mm-hmm. So just how the scriptures very naturally lead into prayer. And really that time of meditation is what kind of fuels that. So, as I look at my time with the Lord, at least the kind of devotional quiet time aspect, it's really that the heart of it is that time of meditating on scripture, combined with praying, and kind of going back and forth between the two, I'd say. What about you, Ryan? Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know about you. I find it, not that this is the one way to do it, I find it helpful for me when I have those four different chunks or types that I'm reading, because, one of those, I may be working through First Chronicles and be in the middle of a genealogical list. yeah. And I'm trying to meditate, it's God's inspired word. But sometimes it's the Psalm, like you mentioned, or yesterday for me, it was I'm in the Isaiah, and or this morning, it was Isaiah talking about how God, sooner can a nursing mother forget her child than the Lord will forget his covenant children, essentially. And man, that was the one today that I latched onto and communed with the Lord.
Yes. Yeah, so rich. And I think you're perfectly right. It really depends on the day where some of those verses that my heart desperately needs to hear and grasp a hold of, where they come from. That's a great point.
I got two quick follow-ups. Well, maybe not quick, and that's okay. But one I can't remember right now. I'll ask the other one. So just both of you guys have mentioned Bible reading plans. And so if someone's watching this and they're like, man, I would love a Bible reading plan, where would you direct them?
There's some really good ones. I actually use an app on my phone that is from the Holy Bible app, kind of the go-to Bible app. And there's a lot on there to sift through. There's a lot of plans. There's some not good ones, and then there's some good ones. And so, like the ESV Study Bible Plan I use, it actually comes through on there. It can send you regular reminders. And there's some that are, if you want to read through the whole Bible in a year or in a few months even, or if you want to focus in on a particular book, they have some different options for that. But I found that just practically helpful to have on my phone, the checklist, even though I'm reading a paper Bible.
Yeah, Ligonier Ministries has a great compilation. So if you type in Google Ligonier, Ligonier, and then Bible reading plans, they have a great compilation of like 20 plans or something like that. Different kinds of plans. So that's something to check out. Ryan Dennis, you'd mentioned as you're talking about Psalm 115 verse 1 and just how you've been meditating on that as you're taking that walk and starting to pray for different groups of people, including yourself. That really reminded me of Donald Whitney's book, Praying Through the Bible. Is that something that you've read or thought about? I know he's come to our church, you know, to talk about that. Is that kind of somebody that maybe influenced you in that direction?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he was, the person who first introduced me to that whole concept. First in his book on spiritual disciplines for the Christian life. He had a whole chapter, big section of a chapter on meditation, which talked about that and praying through the Psalms and things. And then later he came out with that praying through the Bible and did that great conference at Faith last year, the year before maybe. But that same exact concept, yeah, definitely influenced by Dr. Whitney and his material.
Cool. Yeah, so someone that's really influenced me is a guy named Zach Eswine. He's written some great material. One of his books called Sensing Jesus, he makes this great observation from the book of Psalms. And what he observes is that the psalmist divides the day into three portions. And so one portion is 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. is the next portion, and then kind of the evening hours. And he notices that the psalmist kind of intentionally kind of dedicates a portion of his day to the Lord and kind of communes with the Lord in each of those different portions. And he kind of draws that out and applies that, of course, to the 21st century, Zach Eswine does. And that's really challenged me to engage with God in the three portions and not just to kind of view that initial quiet time here in this blue chair when I've got 60 minutes to read the Bible and pray, but then to pray, first of all, for my first portion, those first few hours, Lord, give me strength, give me what's needed for the tasks and the trials of this first portion of my day. Then I get to the second portion, and you know, maybe it's around lunchtime, I'm able to maybe look at a little bit of scripture, thank God for his grace in the first portion, and then pray for grace for the second portion of my day and so forth. Now, as you would imagine, I don't do this every day. And if I did, the days I've done it, it's been magnificent. It's been really rich. But it's been a good challenge for me to consider kind of walking with the Lord in each of the portions of my day and trying to commune in the transition times, maybe in more intentional, focused ways. So that's something that I'm trying to grow in.
Yeah, that's helpful.
So let's see here. What's the next question we got? Obstacles. Okay, so what are some obstacles to communing with the Lord? And maybe it's more recent obstacles that you face, but also obstacles maybe in the past.
Yeah, Ryan, Dennis mentioned this earlier, but being parents of young children, sometimes it's hard to find quiet time and sane moments to focus. And so what that means for us is practically daddy is usually the first one up, and I'm getting my coffee, getting in my chair, getting, you know, maybe 30, 45 minutes in before the kids can come running in. So that's one for me. And I mentioned earlier too, the prayer journaling thing is not because I'm a great writer or really faithful at doing the journaling. It's because I need it a lot of the time to focus. I find it much easier to do Bible reading and focus on study and more work for me to pray. But it's a spiritual discipline. It takes discipline. It takes effort. And so those are one of the things, those are a couple of things that I found obstacles personally.
Yeah. What about you, Ryan? Dennis?
Yeah, definitely similar things. I'd say just early on, especially, and even today, I shouldn't say the struggle's over, but just inconsistency, just struggling to have consistent everyday time in the Word. So in one sense, just, you know, making a plan even, just this is the time I do it, whatever happens, or if that plan fails, you know, come back to it later in the day at some point when I get the chance. I'd say a more ongoing obstacle is I've just found that almost every morning I wake up just spiritually dull. Mm-hmm. I just wake up spiritually lethargic. My heart doesn't naturally want to seek the Lord. But it's really kind of that initial discipline of knowing the Word is what I need. So I go to the scriptures, like you were saying earlier, Ryan, not because I'm full, but because I'm spiritually hungry, and not in like a virtuous, oh, that's so something to admire, but like, man, I need this. Like my soul desperately needs the Word. So just that initial obstacle of just pretty much every morning, just facing that, but yet knowing where to go with that is to go to the Lord. And then I'd say one other thing that ties into that is also just times where that's more pronounced. So just kind of seasons of where you might just say the Lord's face seems hidden. Just kind of a time of darkness, whether it's just kind of emotional struggles or depression, or just the Lord just has chosen to withdraw his presence in some sense for whatever reason. And just no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you meditate, you just kind of feel lifeless, like you're going through the motions. So I think just early on, I think that really, really challenged me, and it was a real struggle. But I think as the years have gone on, I've just come to recognize that as part of the Christian life. There's times when the Lord's presence is so sweet and near, it's heaven on earth. And there's other times where we just long for that, where we're desperate for that. And that regardless of how we feel, we go to the scriptures, we believe what we read there, we preach to ourselves, we argue the scriptures with ourselves, and we press on regardless of our emotional state or how we feel at the time. We just keep seeking, keep trusting, keep calling on.
Yeah, that's really well said, brother. I love your answer to that. I think I can relate to both of what you've shared, you know, whether it's just the distractions of life when you wake up in the morning, whether it's just struggling to connect with God, making time for Bible reading. You know, even if I wake up early, sometimes I'll putz around on my phone and all of a sudden I realize I got to jump in the shower and head to church. And so all kinds of kind of practical obstacles. But I appreciate what you said, Ryan Dennis, about just seasons, dark nights of the soul that sometimes we have. I can think of the end of 2014 and into 2015, having that kind of dark night of the soul and not really knowing why. And I couldn't point at a particular sin or a particular set of circumstances that would cause this dark night of the soul, this despondency or depression. And, you know, there were many days in January and February where my times with the Lord were, you know, on my knees, elbows on the chair, sometimes tears, sometimes no emotion. And maybe the most frustrating thing is having nothing there, almost a numbness, and yet trying to discipline myself before the Lord to still read and pray. And those are some of the most fruitful times looking back because of what occurred after. And it can turn into something very beautiful. I wanted to talk about something else, and that's sometimes, you know, as a vocational minister, full-time vocational minister, sometimes, you know, we obviously are called to read the Bible for ministry, but then obviously we're called to commune with the Lord through our Bible reading as well. And there have been seasons of my life, especially when I was younger, maybe in college as a Bible study leader, or even at times I struggle with this now, where I'm reading the Bible more for ministry and I'm really neglecting my personal communion with the Lord. And, you know, I just think of 1 Timothy, Paul's warning to young Pastor Timothy, Acts 20, you know, Paul's instructions to the Ephesians elders, you know, pay careful attention, not only to the flock, but to yourself, and watch your life and your doctrine. And, you know, just the idea that our self-feeding, so to speak, or our opening up the Bible and asking the Lord to feed us, maybe that's a better way of putting it, that leads to feeding others. That's the foundation of feeding others. And, you know, before you can cook a good meal for other people, you got to cook a good meal, so to speak, for yourself. And obviously that analogy falls apart in some ways. But so I found sometimes when I'm neglecting that, when I'm not paying close attention to myself, my own walk with the Lord, I'm malnourished, and therefore I'm going to be shaky, and my ministry is going to suffer as a result. Have you guys been through seasons like that as well, or respond to what I'm saying? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the conviction for me comes in. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians about not being peddlers of the word, and I feel like if in those seasons where I most definitely have been tempted, or even for a time given into all of my, you know, Bible intake was for the sake of using it. Man, what a this is something that I should be used by, not something that I should just be using, you know, as a peddler of the word. And so I think that kind of thought that helps. And you know, there's times where that may mean I need to completely separate. Like I said, I usually have a different plan that I'm working through the year, but I definitely want to, sometimes I've heard preachers talk about, they don't want it to do anything with whatever they're about to preach, but I really want to commune with the Lord with what I'm about to preach. And so I want to spend more time soaking in, you know, my passage from Colossians, and where am I failing to believe? Where do I need to have blind spots exposed, or where can my affections for Jesus be cultivated personally there as well?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Good stuff, guys. So here's our, I think, our last question. And I think it's an important one. So, you know, there's different people watching this video, hopefully, and maybe they're in different places in their walk with the Lord. Maybe we're talking to some young Christians that are just starting to read the Bible. And we're talking to some people that have been reading the Bible for a long time, but maybe they feel like it's kind of stale. And so here's the last question. What are some ways to cultivate a deeper communion with the Lord?
That's a great question. I'm sure lots of things can be said. The one thing I'll say that I have found most helpful, and I think I would encourage everyone to cultivate, is really just that discipline of meditating on scripture, of, you know, yes, read, yes, study, but also take time to truly think deeply on and ponder and apply what you're reading to your life, to your heart, and so on. And I think one of the people that really first showed this to me, and I think is one of the greatest examples in church history of this, is George Mueller, who you may or may not have heard of, but he was founded an orphanage in England, cared for thousands of orphans, but he was also a man who just deeply knew the Lord and had deep fellowship. And one of the things he wrote about in his journal, which was in his autobiography, was just when he learned how to truly meditate on scripture, the difference it made, both just for his own soul in general, but also to his prayer life. So he talked about how initially his habit was to wake up and he'd start right away praying, and it would take him 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. He was a lot holier than I am, maybe an hour before he actually truly started praying. And then he'd start praying after this long time of trying to pray, which is sometimes that is how, you know, you kind of have to, push your way through it. But then he said he found instead that he should first meditate on scripture, that was what would nourish his inner man. He said that's what would really feed his soul. And then that's what would lead into prompting him to pray. So he said, so then he changed his habit completely. Instead of going straight into prayer, he would instead start with start in the New Testament or Psalms or somewhere. And he would just very slowly read through the scriptures. And really ponder it, meditate on it. And he said what he found almost every time was after a few minutes, he'd have something meaningful to pray. He'd have some kind of sin that he needed to confess. He'd have some reason to praise God. He'd have something to petition for. So I think his example, I think, is just great in terms of what it looks like to commune with God by meditating on the scriptures, not in a, you know, modern Eastern meditation kind of way, but really filling your mind with scriptures, letting the Spirit just use it and speak to you through it. And one thing he said that I found over and over again is that, you know, I just can't pray very long unless I'm fixing my mind on a text, at least not in a very meaningful way. But so just the how central the scriptures are and meditating on the scriptures to just having any kind of genuine, meaningful, vital prayer and communion with the Lord, I think, is key. So I'd highly recommend reading his autobiography. You can even just Google George Mueller Meditation, and I'm sure you can pull it up.
Awesome. Yeah, it makes me want to read that book for sure. Yeah. Cool. What about you, Brad Hurst?
Yeah, like Godwin, like you said a second ago, there could be people watching that are in a lot of different stages. So some folks, maybe it's been a long time since you've even cracked open that Bible that's got dust on it. And maybe it starts with putting a plan together, bringing others in with you for accountability and encouragement. Part of communing with the Lord is doing that together. So maybe it's a brother or a sister that can come alongside you and say, hey, would you read Philippians with me for the next few weeks? And let's talk about it. You know, I found some of the sweetest time of communing is talking about something I'm studying with somebody else, or maybe it's the sermon from Sunday morning, the text, and processing that, which I think is really good, really helpful to consider that throughout church history. You know, you think back, most folks didn't have a printed copy of the Bible. They may have been illiterate if they had one. And so they had to find ways to meditate on that word. And often it involved chewing on it from Sunday morning throughout the week. It involved talking with others about it. So it's maybe a good plan like that. All of us, no matter, you know, where you're at, I think Ryan Dennis's, admonition and encouragement to meditate on the word is something we can all always be pursuing. For some of you, maybe you're going, you know, I'm wrestling. Maybe it's good to introduce a devotional for a while, or read good rich theology books, or a good autobiography like Mueller's. Some of that can really help as you see their spiritual journey. That can really help stir your affections, your communion with the Lord, in the midst of that as well. Valley of Vision prayer book. We use that on Sunday mornings a lot. We had one this past Sunday. That's a great tool. I find these Puritan prayers, as I chew on what they're saying, man, there's just a thoughtfulness there, and I'm able to build my prayers upon those who've gone before. Is another helpful tool.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I don't have too much to add, just a couple thoughts. So one, just a book that's been really helpful. In fact, I try to read the first maybe third of this book every year just to kind of encourage my communing with the Lord. It's a book called A Praying Life by Paul Miller. And it's a book really any Christian can pick up. It's not intimidating. It's very gentle and accessible. And so I'd encourage you to pick up that book if you want to cultivate a deeper prayer life, a deeper communion with the Lord. A book that's maybe a little bit more intermediate and meaty, but I think it's been really important to me. It's called A Call to Spiritual Reformation, by D.A. Carson. And what Carson does, he's a New Testament scholar. He just looks at Paul's different prayers through the New Testament, and he analyzes them. He helps you study and meditate on them. And that's been really rich for my prayer life over the years as well. But what I would say is, you know, there's different aspects of our communion with the Lord, right? We've mentioned several of them. So there's studying the Bible. There's meditating and reflecting upon what you have studied and read. There's praying in response to what you have read. And there's different ways that you would do that, whether it's praise or confession. I think Brian Dennis mentioned that earlier. And so I would encourage you to find the aspect of your communing with the Lord that you think, man, I think that's a little weak. And then make it a goal to work on that aspect, whatever it is. And then the last thing I'd say is just find a daily rhythm. It's going to look different for each of us, right? So I've mentioned some things about kind of those three portions that I try to do imperfectly, of course. But find a daily rhythm and just kind of recognizing that communing with God is a much broader category than just a quiet time. As hopefully you've seen us not only sharing in our obstacles, but also in some of our goals, we're trying to commune with the Lord throughout the day. That's our goal, at least. It doesn't always happen. And so thinking about it in that manner, connecting with God, what does that look like through the day, as you kind of walk through it? So any other closing thoughts, brothers? Thoughts you want to throw out there?
We hinted at this earlier, I think, but just the reality of the Christian life is not every day is going to be, you're not going to feel like spiritual fireworks when you walk away from your time in the Word or time in prayer, right? But stay faithful in it, right? We stay faithful in what might be a dry season, because it doesn't mean that the Lord isn't still using that. I don't remember every meal I've ever eaten, but yet they've nourished me and kept me alive. And so similarly, you may not have a memorable, earth shattering in your mind moment every day, but God may just actually be using that to build your faith.
Yeah, that's good. And I think the only other thing I would add just right with that is just don't give up. There's going to be days you're going to get behind on your Bible reading plan. You're going to miss a day, things are going to happen, but just keep at it. Keep seeking the Lord. It's not about checking off a box or accomplish anything. It's just seeking to know him more and more. Enjoy him.
That's good.